The Washington State Senate yesterday voted unanimously to outlaw the ticket bot computer software. The software buys as many as 40% of tickets for a concert before the public ever gets a stab at them. And it's only the latest effort to regulate robots and robotic software. This is all the subject of a conference at the University of Washington tomorrow and Saturday. It's called We Robot 2015. Ryan Kahlo organized that conference. He's an assistant professor at the University of Washington School of Law. Kahlo told Ross Reynolds about some of the other laws that have already been passed to regulate robots.
There's a driverless car license plate you can get in that's being issued in Nevada, right? The Federal Aviation Administration, if you go to their homepage, what do you see? You see a picture of a drone. You have surgical robots. You have hospitals getting sued over surgical robotics. You see hospitals getting sued over not using the robot that they have because something went wrong. What's happening today is that the rubber's really meeting the road. There are laws getting passed in states. There are court decisions and so forth that are robot-specific. It used to be that robots were sometimes involved in legal decisions, but it was very incidental. One example was when Vanna White got angry with Samsung because they made a robot Vanna White in one of their commercials.
So when you hear about robot deception, you might think of an evil R2-D2 who's talking you into buying waterfront real estate. But what kind of deceptive robots are you talking about?
Well, I'm having a conversation with a scholar by the name of Woodrow Hartzog, and he's written this really intriguing draft paper about unfair and deceptive robots. And he's talking about all the ways that robotics as consumer products could take advantage of consumers by pushing certain buttons and trying to get us to buy more.
Give me an example.
Imagine a product that was like a robot dog that you had to feed a virtual food to that you purchased, right? And if you didn't purchase the food, well, the dog wouldn't work. Or imagine like an artificial intelligent girlfriend that at first, you know, was really just everything you ever wanted everything you thought you wanted, I guess.
Sounds like a movie.
Right, exactly. Sounds like a movie premise. But instead of this person improving your life, they started to make demands on you. And it's all carefully orchestrated, and it's leveraging the fact that you really feel something toward this machine in a way that you wouldn't with another kind of machine. Or perhaps you have a robot in your home that's a helper. But one of the things it helps you to do is purchase only from the clients of the company that made it, that signed a deal. And so these are these ideas where, you know, the robot being built by someone else with other commercial interests might try to get you to do certain kinds of purchasing behavior and what the law can do about it.
Well, we already have laws against behavior by people. If someone creates a robot that does something a little bit skeezy on the side, don't we already have laws to go after the people who made the robot?
Well, that's what this scholar at We Robot is arguing. He thinks that the FTC has all the tools it might need in order to pursue deceptive or unfair practice in robotics. You know, I have argued in the past that robots are different and that we actually might need different kinds of legal institutions to deal with them. And so that's a bit of an area of dialogue between myself and this other scholar. There's a fabulous work being done at the University of Washington by Phil Howard and his group. And what they explore is how politicians might use bots in order to influence elections. Do things like, if there's a particular discussion, chime in or create spam around that discussion or pad the follower count of a politician to make the politician look more popular. The truth is that you can use algorithms, bots, personalities that you've created in order to manipulate the world.
We're talking about We Robot 2015. It's a conference taking place at the University of Washington. I'm speaking with Ryan Kahlo, assistant professor at the UW School of Law and Information School. He's helped to organize this whole thing. And you're going to be looking at, should there be more laws or regulations to try to rein this in? When it comes to electoral politics, there are a lot of laws about electoral politics. Would this kind of activity not be covered by existing law?
Well, that's just it. I mean, my thesis, you know, with respect to robotics law has long been that what robots do is they create different human experiences. They make things possible that weren't possible before. They change the way we do certain things. They cut off certain experiences. And as such, the law has these assumptions that aren't true anymore, and it therefore has these gaps. And for me, what robotics law is about filling those gaps. It's an interesting dialogue between technologists who are showing us what's possible and lawyers who are trying to bridge gaps that are created in the law.
Another topic you're talking about that I found fascinating is international law. And I understand there are some who are trying to get an international treaty to prohibit autonomous weapons systems. This sounds very Star Warsy. What is an autonomous weapons system?
I think, well, exactly what might be an autonomous weapon system is part of the problem. Some of the participants are founding members of the Stop of We Robot, are founding members of the Stop Killer Robots campaign. And what they would like is for it to be settled international law, that it be an accord among nations, that you wouldn't have robots making kill decisions on their own. And the key phrase, as I understand it, is that humans always need to maintain meaningful control. But there's a lot of definitional problems here, Ross, because on the one hand, are we going to do this defensively or only offensively? That is it going to be can we have robots that are protecting a base or shielding us from missiles, in the United States that can respond autonomously? And if so, what does it mean to be defensive or offensive? And exactly what does meaningful control mean, right? Because as you might imagine, speed is at a premium on a battlefield. And so as a consequence, a lot of the push towards greater autonomy in weapons comes from this belief that we need to be able to be as fast as possible, otherwise we'll be outgunned, so to speak, quite literally. And so for us to be responsive to quickly evolving battlefield conditions, a lot of folks want to sort of greater autonomy. On the other hand, people like Peter Asaro, who's going to be at this conference, argue not so fast, and that there's a real loss to both utility and human dignity to have these robots make decisions for us.
Ryan Kahlo is the University of Washington professor who organized this weekend's We Robot 2015 conference. Kahlo spoke to Ross Reynolds. That conference is free and open to the public.